The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Christy Matthews. Oh, that was weird, right, you guys? That's probably like the third time in the history of this podcast that I've ever done the introduction by myself, and this time I wasn't even reading it, so... I'm doing this without Michelle. Wanted to say hello to everyone. I usually say hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining us. So thank you as always for joining us or me today. Don't worry. I am not by myself for this entire episode. I am chatting with two guests. Mally in Love is the Instagram handle. If you want to look so that you can see who I'm talking to, two brides getting married to each other, Mallory and Ashley. And I actually recorded this with them in person because they live really close to where I live in Arizona. So I sort of reached out and then invited myself over to their house and set up in their kitchen. And we had a lovely conversation about wedding planning, because that is what this podcast is about. So the angle or topic for today's episode is actually, I think this might be the first time we've done this where we are revisiting an episode topic that we did a long, long time ago, but updating it for current times, which are very weird. We recorded this a few months ago. It is now October 19th. October 20th. This episode is coming out, 2021. And we're revisiting an episode that we actually released in November 5 years ago. 5 years ago, it was our third episode, and it was called Firsts. And it was all about the first things that we suggest or that most people do to begin wedding planning, like the first things you do after you get engaged. And we recorded it, like I said, well, over 5 years ago. By the time we released it, it was 5 years ago. And it's one of our most popular episodes, and it remains that way to this day. And I think that's because people find our podcast because they just got engaged. And so for those of you listening who are joining us for the first time, you're listening to an episode all about firsts. You can go back and listen to the one that we did 5 years ago, episode 3, but this is an updated version because wedding planning in 2021 is a different beast than it was before, maybe than it ever has been before. It's extremely busy time in the wedding industry, and couples are still dealing with how to mitigate COVID and vaccines, as well as very, very busy vendors and venues. So booking and hiring and interviewing and vetting, all of that is happening a lot sooner out and taking a little bit longer in some cases to reach wedding professionals. So I sat down with Ashley and Mallory to talk about all things wedding planning, things that they have done in their first few months after being engaged. Now, these two have that Instagram handle, like I mentioned, and we'll talk about that a little bit. I think they qualify in the influencer world, which, you know, I don't know how that happens, because it's just such a mystery to me, and it makes me feel 1,000 years old. But the description on Instagram is femme couple, plus size style, engaged, and pet moms. And so, yeah, you can see who I'm talking to. It was such a delight to visit with these two. And they have some really helpful tips about wedding planning because they are uber organized. So some of the things that we talked about were how to share the fact that you're engaged or the proposal on social media versus keeping it a secret for a while? Who are you telling first? Why is it important for some couples to tell certain people first? And maybe if you're considering who you should tell, there's some good advice here for pros and cons in terms of telling everybody yourself or telling a few people in your family and letting them pass it on. We also hear about their proposal stories. They both propose to each other. And we talk about all the insecurities that might be brought up with wedding planning stuff, from body image stuff to identity stuff and family baggage. Suddenly everything is brought to the surface. So we talked about a lot and they really opened up and I had a good time. And I hope you have a good time listening to this episode. If you have any questions, of course, you can email us, follow us on social media. You can become a patron. We have a good community of listeners on Facebook and you can join us there as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode with Ashley and Mallory.
Hi, we are Mally in Love. My name is Ashley.
And my name is Mallory.
And we are a same-sex plus-size couple from Phoenix, Arizona.
We started our Instagram, Mally in Love, about almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we started thinking that it would just be us two traveling and documenting our love for each other. And we hit 10K in January, I think.
And it's grown into something so big. And now we are an engaged couple,
yes,
documenting all of the process of wedding planning.
So thank you for welcoming me into your home. I am recording this episode, which is very rare these days, with not just because of COVID stuff, but with where I live. But you guys, it was like a 45-minute drive. You're in Phoenix. I'm in Gilbert out here. So I'm glad we were able to do it in person. So thank you. And first tell me, like, give me some background. Like, how long you've been together? When did you get engaged and how did that go?
We've been together for almost 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we met on Bumble, a dating site of all places.
And interestingly, we actually met on Tinder first 3 years ago-ish.
Yeah.
And we planned a date and she... Mallory jokes that I ghosted her.
Uh-oh.
But I was just nervous and it just didn't work out. But a year later, we saw each other again on Bumble. We swiped right.
Was it the same picture or did you just recognize each other?
I feel like we probably had
the same pictures. But we remembered each other because we'd really hit it off the first time. And
I was still following you on Instagram.
Definitely.
Secretly pining for her.
So it was like part two, but like more prepared this time.
Yes. Yeah. It just worked out really perfectly. We went on that first date and...
That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, starting a social media account together after 6 months, right?
You definitely had to convince me to even start one.
Right.
I just thought it wouldn't be successful at all.
Or like, who is this for?
Yeah. Who is this really for? And you convinced me with, looking at other influencers that were LGBT couples and their success.
Yes.
And I was thinking, well, if anything comes of it, that's great. But at the same time, it was fun starting off and just kind of blogging our life and how we met and the funny tales that we had.
And so we've been doing that and we got engaged April of this year.
Okay.
So that's pretty recent. We're recording this
in July. It'll be, by the time we release it, you guys will be like further on the planning, but
yes,
if we're talking about
it's
like
pretty new still.
Yeah. What did you do? What did you think? What were you stressed about? It's still fresh in your mind.
Oh yes.
Ashley proposed first.
Wait, proposals. I feel like proposals aren't very often a surprise anymore because couples, and I think rightfully and logically, like talk about things like the rest of their life. So like, you say she proposed first, which means you both, I want to hear the story, but was like conversations had been had or it was like,
we planned wanting to get rings probably sometime last year and originally wanted to be engaged in the fall of last year. But because
being together for about a year plus.
Yeah, probably like a year plus. We thought that would be a good time frame.
Okay.
And we wanted to take that next step. Yeah. But
COVID got in the way.
Yeah, and I didn't have a job anymore, so just that wasn't realistic. Yeah.
You were working in the wedding industry as well.
Yeah.
So that affected our finances mm-hmm. and our plans and definitely pushed things back at least 6 months for us. But we finally decided to get rings and I think it was early this year.
Yeah.
And so we, untraditionally, we went into the store together. We picked out our rings together because we wanted them to complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people want it to be a surprise, but we didn't want that part to be a surprise.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the moment where we knew it was happening. We both knew that we wanted to propose to each other, but we didn't let each other know the when or the how. That part we wanted to keep a surprise, even though that was a major struggle trying to keep it a surprise. We were very excited to, you know, share it with not even just on Instagram, but with our extended families and our extended friends on Instagram or on Facebook and Instagram. But you know, part of what was special about it to us was being able to document those memories.
Yeah.
From my proposal to Mallory, I hired a videographer because it was a moment that I felt needed to be videoed, whereas she hired a photographer, which a lot of people do, because she wanted to document it on just with pictures. And
yeah.
I think that it really spoke to what we did specifically with our proposals.
I agree.
It's like, so both were special and unique and you both got the experience of planning and like mm-hmm. orchestrating it, but also you both got the experience of being on the like receiving end
yeah.
of like, well, look at everything you did.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think our families were kind of confused at first. Like they were like so on board with us getting engaged, very excited, but they didn't really understand like, why do you both need to propose?
Yeah. They didn't get it.
Like you're both engaged. So isn't that the same? And it,
you had a great way of explaining it
is that we both felt like, you know, we'd been dreaming about this since we were little girls. And we wanted, you know, we both wanted to give each other that big romantic gesture of how much we loved each other.
Yeah.
And we both wanted that moment to feel special of someone asking us to marry. So even though she proposed second, I still felt that specialness. Like, obviously, we were already engaged technically.
Sure. It wasn't like you were going to change your mind. Or,
right.
It would have been, I don't know, I would have felt left out if I were you to not receive something in return.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been seeing straight couples do double proposals.
Uh-huh. We've talked to a couple.
Yeah.
I think it's really romantic. So
I agree.
So the main thing that we heard when we did this episode first 5 years ago about like right after the engagement, like you said you had about a day before you were posting photos of it. So then strangers know, but did you like think about, or was it a challenge to figure out who to call, or was it just like parent? I mean, pretty basic and easy.
I think both of us right after we made a list, okay, who should be first?
Yes.
Or we've had people tell us we would like to be first. So I think for your proposal, our parents, I think for your proposal, to me, we called, of course, none of my family was in the same vicinity, so we had to call all of them separately.
Yes.
Which is just funny. It's a very running theme for my family. So
like, I'll tell you, and then you tell somebody, and then they'll tell
you.
You
knew it was happening in your state. You were pre-warned. Why were you not in one place?
And your mom didn't pick up at first, and I was like,
so she was last to know. She was the first to call, last to know.
So it did matter who, in that way. Like, it's an important... You're like bestowing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And with the pandemic, we were very cautious of how many people were a part of it. Your best friends were there, your two best friends, the videographer and the guitarist, and that was it. And
that was special.
And people were wearing masks and stuff.
I didn't want it to be this big thing where a bunch of people were there. Yeah. I would have rather it just be very intimate like
that. And thankfully to technology, we got to FaceTime everybody.
Yeah.
Outside of
right
that.
After
mm-hmm.
yeah.
we did all of my family, and then we did your parents.
Yes. And then the next morning we did a small brunch with the people that are our best friends. We did an outdoor brunch, and it was really lovely that they all happened to be available on that morning. It was like Good Friday or something like that, so everyone was like, I have the day off work, so we were able to celebrate with them in person, in a safe way.
Yeah.
And it was kind of all, it all kind of just fell into place that way.
Yeah.
I think you two both are a testament to like proposal planning.
Oh yeah.
Which, I mean, and that's too much. People are, it's more of a trend now, I think, than 5 years ago when we recorded this, in terms of, it's not a surprise. And it's not just a pretty location or a bridge or a vacation, but there's professionals involved and planning for the after celebrations as well immediately. So that's something that's different than the episode. And then I do think it's important that we like emphasize that it mattered to your parents. You mentioned that they wanted to be called first. Like, I think people should remember that it might not matter as much to you. Like, I called my brother, his number was first on my phone, I don't know, you know, whatever. And then like find out later, like, well, mom's feelings were really hurt that you didn't call or whatever. And you're like, what? Yeah. It's just a thing that happened and we're all going to celebrate it together. But it might matter too.
Yeah,
definitely. And I think that, you know, those people who have been supporting your relationship from the beginning are those people who want to know first, you know.
I know both of you. Yeah. Care about both of you.
Yeah.
For one of the couples we talked to, is actually my brother-in-law, and they're married now. Telling his grandmother himself was really important, like not so that she hears it from other family members or even like in, you know, like, oh, did you hear, you know, while someone picks her up or something, but he wanted to like get her on the phone. And he said the same thing, that she just like didn't answer for several hours. And they were like, what do? We want to tell other people, but it was a close relationship. It meant something to him. And he wanted to hear her reaction, I think, like, and her, you know, feel that from her. So it's something to think about, is what we're getting at.
I forgot to tell my grandmother she lives with my family. So she found out from Facebook.
But she's chill.
She was still chill about it.
Another thing that people said when I asked them, like, what were you immediately thinking about after, let's say, a few days after the proposal? Like, you've told people, you've had the brunch maybe, you've celebrated with the two of you. It's exciting. But like, now we have to have a wedding. Did that feel like, let's get out a pad and a pen and just like write some stuff down? Or did you start by talking about like, we need to get on this because it's 2021, like shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what were your first, let's like turn to like wedding planning. What were your first thoughts?
It was,
I thought we were going to chill for 6 months.
Oh yeah. Our goal was like, enjoy it. Suck it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, our parents were curious about the budget, and we were like, okay, we'll just put out a few feelers. Like, cause we have no idea what anything costs.
How can you tell them how much the whole wedding is going to cost if you don't know a range of what venues cost?
Yes. So we started doing some light research.
Okay.
And
that
then,
sounds like a rabbit hole.
It really was, because we learned that in the year 2021, that all the brides from the year 2020 pushed back their weddings. Not all of them. Some of them eloped and some of them had small backyard ceremonies, but a lot of them pushed back their weddings to this year.
Even if they had a small wedding, they were having a big party.
Right.
Which so things are booked.
Yes.
Which think someone who worked in wedding industry or for bridal, that you would have remembered that rescheduling all those brides for a while.
Yes. And you were at a boutique, right?
Yeah. I worked for Anomaly. They're an
online. Yes. Yeah. We've had them on. So it's a matter of like shipping, but also remeasuring, sizing, changing their minds. Yeah. Like,
right. So a lot of them had to be on hold and they had to reschedule for a whole other year.
Yes. And so on that, you know, we had a date in mind. That was the first thing, was that we had a date in mind.
Yes.
And then everyone that we were just, you know, getting a quote from, just to see like, oh, how much does this actually cost? They were like, yeah, every date in that month of that year is booked. Sorry.
So October 2022.
Yeah.
Venues you were calling.
Yes. They were like, sorry, nothing for you. And so we started panicking.
Yeah.
And then we started doing all the work.
Top four. We put together a list very quickly.
Okay, see, that's something.
Yes, of all the ones that we were really interested in.
So was venue your first foray?
Yes. Okay. I think that's the biggest purchase. I felt like might as well go between that and the dress. Those are the biggest purchases. So to me, you want to start with the venue. And
you're both going to wear dresses.
Yes. And
do you plan on shopping together? This is just my own curiosity.
At first, yes. But because a lot of the people that we want there are all in different places, it's not going to work out for both of us to do it at the same time.
Right.
Which is fine.
It's totally fine. My parents are going to be flying out in October to look at the venue and going to take mom shopping. Yeah. And so my mom and my maid of honor and one of my bridesmaids will all go together.
Yeah.
And then your two maids of honor.
They live in two different, or they're going to be living in two different states. So I want them to be there for it. So I think we decided on Thanksgiving.
Okay. So we're looking at venues. You called four.
Yes.
And
I think three of the four all said that the date was booked.
Did they say like a lot of dates are booked?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
They were like, do you want to get married on a Thursday? And we were like, no.
Okay. No. Yes. And this is more than a year out.
Yes. We thought, cause we did our research too. We were like, we looked at the timelines and they're like, yeah, book a year out. And we were like, great. We have 6 months. And then a year and a half away, they're like, you better book now or the dates are going to be gone.
So that's another 2021 difference specifically. It might not be in like certain parts of the country, but
right. And it might, and I'm sure it'll even out in the future.
But our dream place that we had looked at way before we were even engaged.
Online.
And I had a friend that I worked with that she got married there too. And it was the place that we really wanted to be at. And
Arizona?
Yeah, in Arizona. Okay. It's called Clayton House. Okay. And we toured it. We really liked it. But they didn't have our date. And they didn't have any Saturday.
The whole year.
October of 2022.
Yeah, so they were like, you can get married on a Sunday. And we even considered it. We really did. And we were just like, you know, this isn't the vision we have. It's not worth sacrificing the things that we want.
And we really wanted the date that we picked.
Yeah. And just to at least a Saturday, because we don't want people to be dreading or like going home early because they have work tomorrow, you know?
And there's not a 3-day weekend.
No. And we have a lot of family that lives out of state hopefully be traveling.
I mean, between like you mentioned your vision, family coming in. So like that's goes to the speak to the guest list and you're thinking about numbers and budget. Like you guys seemed pretty like on top of jump-starting the planning. It wasn't like we just went to visit and knowing we were going to wait 2 years and like not pull the trigger. Like things were, it was rolling down the mountain pretty fast.
We weren't expecting to get so invested so quickly, and like
sounds stressful. I mean, it's like hurry up and wait. Like you better book your venue now, or you're not going to get one.
Yes,
it definitely felt like hurry up and wait.
It did, and we definitely did not expect it to feel competitive or to feel pressure.
A deadline.
Yeah.
Did you put soft holds on any places? And they were like, you have 48 hours to call us back.
I mean, the place we ended up going with, they did tell us, you may want to hurry, but if someone inquires about your date, we will call you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was nice. And
so that was really nice.
They didn't end up needing to call us because we made it work. And we're really happy with the venue that we're going with. We see a lot of potential in it. And it checked a lot of boxes off.
When we went there, we only went and visited three. But when we went there, I was like, you know what? I could see us getting married here.
I talked to the guys I interviewed yesterday about their venue hunt too, and how much it matters to see it in person, which 100%. Wasn't possible for a lot of people in the last year, but like it is, there is such a thing as energy and a vibe and just feeling like immediately comfortable or familiar or like creative and imaginative. You said you saw a lot of potential, which means like the wheels are turning and you're absolutely. Like, we could do this, but we have options. But so after you decided for the venue, then you could give your parents kind of a better idea on budget, right?
Right.
But did you take a break at your venue or were you like, oh,
And not to backtrack, but to speak to like seeing in person, there was one venue we fell in love with in pictures and we got there and
that was horrible.
Was it the person that was showing you that was horrible or
no,
was
it
like,
the venue.
No, it was, okay.
It looked so beautiful. And then we got there and it was like, your options are to take pictures in a parking lot. And you know, so like photography can really dress something up.
Yes. Which, a website's, you know, only going to show.
Yeah. If that's fine for you, like if the pictures are really the most important part and you think you can.
Also, location, location, location.
You can't hear the highway that's behind it in a picture.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the ambulances that are right next door. And like, you know, you need to. Yeah.
God forbid the ambulance starts going as soon as you take off with your vows.
Yeah. There's a venue I really like in Texas that's very cool, but it's near train tracks, and pictures of this venue have a lot of couples posing on or near train tracks. Okay, you know, it's a little risky, but like whatever. But it's like they see the train tracks and they think about the pictures or whatever they've seen, and it's like, this is a working, the train will come by. We can get the schedule. You should get the schedule before you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just aesthetics.
It's
like,
not decoration.
It's going to be very loud and like shake the building a little bit, but probably only twice. And if you're cool with that.
Right.
But let's like think about the realities of the venue rather than just like, that's the graffiti wall we saw on their Instagram page. And it's exactly what I want. But if you have to like crunch over broken glass and like a danger zone to get to the wall, it's all going to be part of your wedding day experience. So
And then the other place we toured that we thought was perfect seemed perfect, but we got in there and we were like, this is just too way big. Too big for how many people we're gonna have.
We'd be spending so much money on
partitioning it
and making it not look like it's an empty space.
So just because this, I want listeners to always have like a tip or a takeaway from every episode. Do you have, like, I didn't even put this on the outline, but off the top of your heads or thinking about it, you saw three, you researched a bunch, you ended up seeing three.
Which of is a those, safe number. Yeah. I feel like you don't want to go too crazy.
What would you, of those, you picked the one. What would you say are like really good things to remember when you're looking at venues? Or like, we wish somebody had told us this before we started that process.
Definitely account for your guest list. Like, you don't have to know the exact number, but we said anywhere from 100 to 125. So picking a venue that is comfortable for 300 doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking down the aisle, like, is that a big enough space for you and whoever's like walking with you?
Oh, if it's like a your set party. Aisle.
Because sometimes like with those, if there's not, if it's a, not an open space and it's kind of enclosed or inside, you know, I mean, you've your wedding party, so like, you know, but
not there's all, not
enough space for your whole wedding party. If you have 17 people standing up there, which we're not, but that'd be a lot of people.
Do. Yeah.
When you saw the venues for ceremony, were they set up with chairs? So you got a good idea of like, this is 100.
The one we went with two of them did. Yes. Yeah. And it definitely gave us a good vision. Also think about like what could go wrong. What are the things that can go wrong? For example, one of the places that we toured, we knew that it was important for us to both have a nice space to get ready separately because we wanted a first look. And so one of them had a lovely bridal suite. It was gorgeous. And the groom suite was a shed in the back.
Yeah.
No toilet.
No toilet.
No AC.
They were
no
like,
AC.
Look, exposed wood walls. And you're like, it's a shed.
It's an actual shed. So to us, that was mirrors. Like, could you imagine making one of us get ready in that situation? That'd be horrible. So
that's a very good point to look at. All aspects of the space, not just where your group will be partying.
Yes.
But like, think about parking.
The whole day.
Yeah.
Parking, that was another concern. And what we did, and maybe this is us being a little over the top, but after every single venue we toured, first we thought about the things that were important to us that we really wanted. We wrote them down. We have a shared notes app on our phone.
Yeah.
Prior to venue.
Yes.
Very good. That's very good.
Then as soon as we got in the car at every single place, we parked, we didn't drive away. We sat there and we typed out a pro and con list for each place.
Yeah.
Good advice, and folks, because it's fresh in your mind.
It's fresh in your mind, yes.
And you can be like, I liked that place, but did it smell a little musty? Like, was that me? Do you think that's always...
This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by our friend Mark Grollo at Unboring Wedding Academy.
UnboringWeddingAcademy.com/bigwedding. Go there now. You will thank us, I promise. We are so stoked to continue to partner with Unboring and Mark. We love him. He's been a guest.
He's hosted an episode, the only person besides us to host an episode on our podcast.
If you are asking someone to officiate your ceremony that is not a professional officiant, you need this. This is what you need. You need to give this to them. You need to purchase it and give it to them right away. Or if you're somebody who is performing a ceremony for a friend or a loved one, you need this. This is going to tell you everything and get you all set up.
Yes, it is the key to making the ceremony flow boom without a problem, no issues. Everyone's going to be like, that was the best ceremony we've ever been to. And you're going to be like, yes, Unboring Wedding Academy saved our wedding. Thank goodness we heard about them from Michelle and Christy on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Mark is a pro. He's been performing wedding ceremonies for a very long time. And he thought, you know what? I don't want anybody out there who's not a pro to do this in a shitty way.
Yeah.
I want them to do it the right way. So he put together this digital course. He is giving you a huge discount, like huge.
Historical. Okay?
Historic. It's crazy. He's crazy, but he's doing it because he loves us and we love him. So go to unboringweddingacademy.com/bigwedding, or you could go to our website, click on the partners page, and you'll see the link right there. We are very proud to partner with Unboring Wedding Academy.
Thank you, Mark. And did you take into account or consideration the people that were showing you the space, or was that sort of?
Yeah, like the second space that we went to, the Dream Place, Lane House, the person was nice, but she wasn't as hyped up as I would have liked someone who's, you know, walking around and, and trying to sell you your dream space.
Right. And, you know, that was the one piece of advice a lot of people gave us was sense the vibe when you get there, especially as a same-sex couple, because, you know, people aren't going to outright. I mean, some people do say, like, hey, we're not comfortable having a same-sex couple.
You would have known that prior to
getting all the way there. But sometimes you get there and you just feel the vibe is off, and maybe they're forcing it or they feel uncomfortable. And you don't want that energy on your day. So you need to trust your gut there.
Luckily, I feel like we didn't have any of those problems. But she also said we couldn't have our dog there. So she was out.
Hard stop.
Yeah. Yes.
Hard stop. If Lumos can't go, we're not going.
So I like that you had the ongoing list. We, with our masterclass, have like a site visit checklist. But that's only after your research on the websites and the brochures, maybe reaching out, like finding out about dates that are available. Why go visit if it's just not going to be available?
Right.
So there's a lot of things that in an ideal planning situation happen prior to the couple ever like stepping foot on the venue, but that it doesn't always work out that way. And that's how people fall in love with a venue that's way outside of their budget, or they end up changing their date to a Thursday because they're so in love with it. And they're just like, scrap all the plans. Thursday is fine.
Yeah.
So you guys had like your routine. I mean, it's almost, I don't know if there's a bad cop, good cop, but you went in with like, we're going to do this. And then afterwards we're going to sit in the car and we're going to type them out and then we're going to review them and then we're going to compare them. Mm-hmm. And this is how we will.
Yeah.
It sounds organized.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, your wedding venue is going to be the most expensive purchase of your life as a couple.
Yeah.
Like, we have never, other than our student loans, have never looked at that kind of money in our lives. And so we were like, we really got to take this seriously. And we had our musts, our wants, and our don't cares.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't remember, I might have learned that from listening to you guys.
It's a teacher thing though too, right? Must do, may do, keep to yourself.
Very true. So like our musts were, you know, things like it needs to have two okay rooms to get ready, two nice rooms.
Mm-hmm. They let us bring our dog.
Yes. A want is the date that we had in mind, but we were flexible if it really was the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had a whole list of those things and we felt really comfortable going in, knowing those things ahead. And that really helped us make that decision.
Plus, our time is really valuable. Like, I don't want to, the thing I hate most is wasting my time going someplace that really just wasn't worth me physically going there and looking at it.
If you gals ever buy a house together, it will feel similar to wedding planning because you will have your charts and your lists and you'll have talked to, you know, the real estate agent about what you want and they will show you houses that are like not in no way would have ever fit. Like, no, the one thing I said I don't want is two stories. We're pulling up to a two-story house. Like,
yeah,
it will feel for somebody that, like, as you said, like, values my own time. I do as well. And I get really frustrated. And then you feel like you're like stuck. Well, we drove all the way out here. Now I might as well see it. Like, but I'm kind of resentful because I didn't fucking want two stories and now we're here. So like, it's a similar idea of there is something out there for us. So let's see things that are going to compete for that rather than something just off. It's not going to work. So don't show it to us.
Exactly.
You and I work full time and we do a side hustle and have two pets. Like, I don't have time to go look at other things that really just don't resonate with us.
Exactly. And our vision. And the same has been said. I mean, that's been the biggest thing that we've accomplished so far is the venue, but we have also found our photographer.
Yay.
And we have some other things in the works, but we're kind of slowing down a little bit after we got the big one taken care of.
Yeah, and photographer is another big, top five,
they're
I would say.
Busy. They're all so busy, and they all have, like, every weekend of their life booked. Yeah. So you want to get your name on that
schedule.
And we heard people saying that they were also filling up.
Yeah.
Especially the one we were talking to. Yeah.
Talked to us, and we're, like, commenting on our Instagram of, like, you better hurry with the photographer, too. Like, I booked out through 2023, and I'm like...
it's panic-inducing. I have been getting emails for weddings in 2022, and when I respond with, like, no, I'm not available, or I'm not taking weddings that month, whatever, to say no, I try to include something in the email that's like, but that's not because I'm booked every single Saturday. I don't want you to feel like, which is me just taking care of somebody who I'm never going to meet, their feelings in the moment, because I bet they're getting a lot of emails back that are like, nope, fully booked up till 2023. And that's going to make somebody really stress out.
Yes.
And I do think this is an ebb and flow thing. I do think, like, there's enough to go around.
Yeah.
It is going to calm down.
It will.
We don't have to plan for 2024 right now.
Right.
Like, you're going to call some places that are booked, but not every place.
We just picked an odd time to get engaged.
Yeah.
I mean, not as odd as, like, maybe the beginning of 2020, but it definitely is. We were on the very end of this weird...
Yeah, you're not just competing with 2020 brides. You're competing with 2021 brides also because 2020 is a rollover and then 2021, 2022.
Hopefully things will go better.
Yeah, it will.
It's not all vendors. It's not all facets of your wedding.
Yeah.
Like, we're not stressing about our baker for our cake. Like, we know that stuff will work out.
Yeah. But photography, but vendor, video, like, we're kind of bummed because our videographer that we really wanted... didn't work out.
Which is something to keep in mind, too. Like, the difference between a baker and the difference is a photographer spends 12 hours, potentially. So that's one wedding per Saturday and probably just one per weekend unless they really want to go all in. But the baker can potentially make four wedding cakes for a Saturday.
For sure.
And that's... So thinking about, like, service versus product, like, same with florists. If they have a team, it is possible to have three installations on one day.
Oh, for sure.
And a really small company, that wouldn't be possible. If it's just, like, I am the florist. I will be doing the flowers, delivering them, and setting up. Therefore, it's just me, and I'm booked out already.
Right.
But if they have a team with them... then they divide and conquer. So photographer, videographer, DJ, musicians, well, DJ and planners is you all day. But musicians, I think it's going to be more and more common that, like, people are booking a string trio or whatever that's, like, coming from another.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be there at 2 because we're doing this other wedding. I mean, it's just things to think about on in terms of for those of you listening that are finding it hard to get quicker responses, or you're thinking, like, it's a lost cause. Everyone's telling me that they're already booked. Take a deep breath and prioritize who you're contacting first.
Yes.
Like, you guys did venue and then you did photographer and then you felt like you could take a deep breath and chill for a minute.
Yes. And our next steps are videographer and planner because we know those are important as well. And you know, we definitely had some vendors who said no, but they were wonderful and they gave us 5 other vendors.
Very good.
So our videographer said no and she gave us 5 other ones that we will be reaching out to.
And that recommendation is priceless because you can Google search all day long, but pro to pro recommendation is great.
Exactly.
More than a couple times you both have said that wasn't our vision or we knew – what our vision was. So what I want to know, like, what is your vision? But I also want to know, like, was this something that just you kind of just know because you live together and it was like you talk about things as you're just getting ready? Or did you sit down and really say, like, what do you want this wedding to look like? Because I do think some couples have to do that.
Yeah.
I think it might be couples where it's a man and a woman maybe, or like a really into weddings person and a really not into weddings person that has to be like, we should talk. It sounds like you guys, it was more like implicit in your relationship. Yeah.
I feel like it's a combination of both. I knew for sure I didn't want a theme because I think theme weddings are kind of weird. But I like the idea of...
If executed poorly.
There's been other ones where they've been really beautiful. But for us, I feel like we really just wanted our wedding to tell our story, first and foremost. So using a lot of aspects of our life to be added into... the details like of our wedding, like our dog being there and having signature cocktails that are named after our pets, it being our favorite month of the year and our favorite season.
Love October, but you did want any sort of Halloween vibe.
No, like, that's not us.
Like pumpkins on the table.
See, and that's where it gets into that that theme.
Thematic. Yeah.
Right. Type of aspect.
Yes. Not everybody operates with a theme in mind.
Right. And we, you know, we are both very feminine women. We've both been watching See Us the Dress since we were 13. and we enjoy this stuff. So to us, like, we'll be sitting in bed and sending each other Instagram pictures of weddings. Like, oh my gosh, don't you love this? Like, it's very much something that has become, it's fun for us. And I think if it wasn't fun for both of us, it probably would be a very different story. And I know that
it would be more stressful.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it would feel like a burden.
Yeah.
And I think that I know a lot of couples who only one of them is into planning the wedding or
then that feels like a distribution
levels.
Of labor. Yeah. Like I'm doing everything that I don't love that.
Right.
So that's so boring to me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to feel that way.
Right.
You mentioned earlier that it's the biggest amount of money you're going to spend as a couple, like very likely, unless you've already bought a house together. A wedding is a down payment on a house. Yeah. Everybody, that's a lot of money, but also it can be the first time. It is most of the time, the first time that two people work together on one project. Like it is a partnership and you're collaborating. Whereas a lot of couples, like my husband talks about his job, I talk about my job. Maybe there's a couple things around the house we need to do together. But for the most part, when we were dating or engaged, it was like, you are doing your thing and I'm doing mine.
Yeah.
To do something together is...
Even the proposal, you do it by yourself.
Yeah.
For the other person. So it is very much something that we're doing together and it is very collaborative and it really shows like how well we work together.
Yeah.
And I feel like our Instagram really prepared us for that because we were able to do this side hustle and work together and become a team and really that organization skill that we keep talking about of, you know, really planning things. You know, we have a whole notes app of literally just here's Ashley's duties for the Instagram and here's my duties. Mm-hmm. You know, we've split up and made sure that we're doing equal parts.
Because you're both into it.
Yeah, we love it.
Easier to handle that.
Yeah. And we kind of shifted that into comes to wedding stuff.
We have so many different wedding notes. Like it's bananas. Like
I think we have three different guest lists somewhere in our notes.
We probably should consolidate things in the future. But
you will, you know, like you have all the pieces there. There will be like an official spreadsheet at some point when you two are like, okay, we gotta get real with these addresses or something that will like propel you to do
that. For sure. Yeah. And it's just been, a really fun journey. Yeah. And I think that figuring out our vision has been, to circle back to the topic, it's been very much us, you know, finding inspiration from weddings we've seen, talking about what's important to us, finding little ways to incorporate who we are into something that, you know, we want to be special for us, but also for our family and friends.
Yeah.
And we've definitely, we're more of like color scheme and flavor palette kind of people. Yeah. So while it's not a theme, we're going to have fall colors and we'll have some fall flavors.
We're going to have a design board.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, to make it look to come all together.
And including some of your favorite things, or that was kind of the idea from the beginning, favorite season, favorite month, favorite pet, don't tell your cat.
But, she's not invited.
I wonder, and this is another difference from 5 years ago and now, that, I mean, there were influencers 5 years ago. It wasn't like the dark ages, but it wasn't as much wedding content on Instagram specifically as it is now. And you two are not just regular brides. You're brides with like a following that is pretty targeted with fashion and love. So my question is like, I think it would be for anybody that was like really active on Instagram, not necessarily people who are influencers, but have you talked about how like the wedding day is not going to be perfect? No wedding day is. And like the kind of the difference between Instagram and reality, and that, like, I know you look through and you're going to share the best pictures. We all do. But, and I think it's the same question I'm asking with like, when a planner is getting married, you're like, are you going to be able to enjoy your wedding day and not be in planner mode?
For sure.
Did that have something to do with the photographer you hired? Someone that you know, like, I'm not going to be thinking about selfies or my own camera or my own angles because we love this person? Or?
Yeah, overall, I think that we, as people who regularly do photo shoots, whether it be for our own content or we love to help photographers get content of same-sex couples, because, you know, when we've looked for photographers, a lot of them have not had any same-sex couples. So we've provided that for some. So we feel like, oh, like we're experts at posing, but we really don't want to be thinking about
that. Yeah, that's kind of what I am.
We want to just trust someone who like has got it, you know?
It's been shoots that we've done that previously where we've had all these inspiration photos going into it and thinking, oh yeah, we'll do this pose and this pose and this is our inspiration. And then it's because we have way too much inspiration that it doesn't work out.
Right. I'm thinking on the wedding day, like, bummed. You want to just, like you said, enjoy the wedding day and not kind of make it a photo shoot.
Exactly. And I think that that's really important for all couples, because those photographers who can do that for us are going to be able to do that for a couple who is only posed together for their engagement photos.
Yeah.
They know how to make it not awkward. They know how to make it comfortable and look natural. And the first piece of advice, because we went to our parents and said, like, what is your one piece of advice? And Mallory's mom said that if there's anyone you give your money to, make it a good photographer, because you want them to document those memories. You want it to feel like you're just doing your own thing and they're there doing their job.
And they're going to get it. Like they're going to get the shots that you will cherish without you being like, hey, make sure I want my dress in the background. Yeah. Like, and they're going to get it.
We did interviews via phone with a few photographers and she made it very clear, like, you know, if you really have something that you see, like, send it to me, but we're not going to be recreating any Pinterest photos here. Yeah. Like, this is
an
authentic
that.
Moment. We want to be capturing your authentic moments.
You're not recreating.
Yeah.
It's you. You don't want to be like, we want our wedding pictures to look like this couple's.
It's no.
And I like that she wasn't just talking about our photographer doing photos that obviously are staged, you know, with the brides and the family and everything, but she had a lot of candid moments. And that was something that she said that she likes to do both of, which is being a fly on the wall, but also getting those like really important shots that everybody wants to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing in the first episode was that something people think about almost right away is money. You talked about how your parents were like, let's talk money. And that's so great because they wanted to contribute.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
And then how did conversations evolve with budget after the venue? Was it like they're going to give you a blank amount or they're going to pay for, like, we'll take care of the florist?
We're in such a unique situation because we are two brides and typically the bride's parents pay for the wedding.
Our parents joke about that a lot of like, well, there's two
I thought we were
parents
gonna
of the bride.
Split it in half.
So. But obviously it's 2021 and, you know, we can also pay for things.
Yes.
So we told them what we wanted to spend ourselves because it was important for both of us to also like provide for our own wedding.
Yeah. And we had an overall budget goal and we proposed to them. You know, we're going to cut. Would you be okay if we covered a third Ashley's family covers a third and Mallory's family covers a third. And we told them how much that third would be. Both families said, yes, that's great. We love it. We're also not going to be, you know,
micromanaging.
Yeah, we're not.
They both said,
you know, we're not going to stop if it gets to this, like a dollar over. Like if there's, you know, we have some flexibility for you here. But they really liked that we were contributing equally. Mm-hmm.
And did you feel like by taking money or that that had any strings attached or like, okay, you're giving us some money, but that means we have to invite all your neighbors?
Oh, that was the one thing that we said to both families, which was, you know, we want your help and we appreciate it. We really do. However, comma, you know, please do not feel like you have a say as to if Uncle Johnny can come to the wedding, because we're going to have the veto power.
You felt you like okay that with specifically that. With guest list, not as much with like design guest that list, they were going to.
Guest list like mainly. Anyone, because anyone can worm their way into wanting to be invited.
And, you know, there's some family members, not to get personal, but there are some family members where there's family drama. And we made it clear that we're not going to be, you know, so-and-so ruined graduation. They're not coming to the wedding because I don't trust that they are going to be doing that, even though mom might want them to go. It doesn't matter.
Were those conversations with your parents like tricky, or were you guys really, it sounds like you were pretty clear. Yeah.
We talked about it going in cause that was a fear of ours.
Yeah.
And like other things aren't as much of a fear. Like, you know, I don't think that moms and dads are going to dictate the wedding dress. Like that's not a concern, but the guest list was a concern.
Yeah.
And we made that clear with both sides. You know, we want your input. You can give us a list of people that you'd love to come,
but we get the final decision.
If we're not comfortable with that person coming, or we have hit our limit of guests, like we can say no.
And they were, sounds like they were good.
Yeah. Those are one condition. Yeah.
You guys really did a good job. It is so good to be transparent and clear, even when it's could be a little bit tricky. And a lot of times budget conversations are way more difficult than
we were very nervous.
Yeah. No, but you had your strategy. You were on the same, a lot of things that I would like list out as like, here's best practices for talking to family members about contributions. You were on the same page. You were really transparent about what the expectation was. You weren't like, I mean, for the most part, we're going to be, you said what you wanted.
Yeah.
And you went in with a plan, and also you were smart to divide up the budget so that they knew how, it wasn't just like money doesn't hold as much when it's somebody else. I mean, it's easier to spend it, but knowing you were contributing as well and then kind of presenting that to them was a smart, I just think it was a smart way to get everybody on the same page and like cut off any potentially awkward situations happening later, right at the beginning of the process.
Oh, yeah. We did so much research beforehand.
Articles.
Just because, you know, we don't know. We haven't gone to a lot of weddings together. Right. And our parents got married in the 80s. So
you did research about budgets.
Yes. Okay. A lot of budget research. Because we had no clue.
Mallory's the first of her siblings to get married. My brother got married and divorced. And my parents kind of had a horror story with his wedding of being the groom's parents and ending up paying for almost everything, even though that wasn't what was agreed upon, you know? And so I wanted to make it clear, like, that's not going to happen. We would love your help. I'm your only daughter, and I know that that's what you want to do, but we still want it to be fair. We want it to feel fair to everyone.
Are your parents in contact with each other, or have they met in
person? Yeah. Your mom texts my mom.
Yeah. That's helpful too.
Yeah.
It's a little harder now that my parents are on the other side of the country, but like, you know, it's social media.
Make age. It work.
Talk.
So, we kind of went down a list of like, these are great things to do. Do you have anything to add in terms of like helping other people to set those boundaries? I forgot the thing about like, do your research, which is huge. You guys really, you came in prepared.
Definitely. I think that, you know, it's as far as parents go, or family in general, when it comes to setting those boundaries, I think it's clear, you know, going in, if you have any stipulations, like, we want your help. However, we do not want this, or we really want you to be involved with this. And so, you know, for me, I let my mom know, like, you know, these are the days I really want you to fly out if you can.
Yes. I don't. These are the things I want you to be a part of.
Right. Yeah. So it's not just being like bossy and having rules, but it's also being, you know, letting them know, like, these are the things I want to include you in as well. You know, like, I want you to come out and fly out for this, for the shower. I want you to come out for this, trying on the dress and seeing the venue and stuff. And, you know, I think that a really important part of asking your parents for that amount of money is involving them.
Yeah, and letting them feel a part of it.
Letting them tour the venue, asking their opinions on things. Even if you don't listen to their suggestion, maybe they send you the weirdest thing or the silliest thing, but like still letting them feel involved and included. And if there is something that you have a really big stipulation on, say it before they agree to spend all this money.
For sure.
Because they have the right to say no too.
Yeah.
So.
I also think you need to back up your partner. Whatever, you know, you both decide, even if you don't necessarily like agree, especially if you're in front of your parents and you're trying to tell them what's up, then you need to also like agree with your partner. For example, like kids and if they should or shouldn't come to the wedding. It was like a big discussion we had
prior to
even telling them the budget and stuff like that. And then after we decided on that, we mentioned, by the way, we don't really want kids at the wedding. And obviously that's kind of a sour note for some people.
But you were a united
front. Yeah, we were definitely a united front. It was something we had always talked about that we just never really saw. Also, none of our friends have children besides a few relatives that we don't necessarily... Like a few
older cousins.
Yeah, and like I just don't... We don't even know if they would even really go. So for us, it was just important to already just establish that was something else, you know, that we really wanted. And
that's a good point to back up your partner, especially if it's in front of their... Whoever's parents are there having the discussion with you, it will set the tone for many other parts of your life down the road where you need like, hey, my mom's going to make this difficult, but if we are strong and you don't like falter behind me or, I, you know, whatever, going in on the same page and backing each other up is good advice.
Definitely. I agree. Obviously.
And then speaking about families, the last like bullet point that I pulled when I was listening to the episode from 5 years ago was that another thing people almost immediately either thought about or were confronted with, like, oh, we're going to have to deal with this now, is like the stuff that can come up, like family, some baggage, you know, or like maybe a family member, like you mentioned, he acted up at the graduation, so we don't want him there. And that's that. And we're just going to be clear about that. But when you talk to people you love about money and plans in the future where family is going to be involved, like other stuff can come up and maybe some strife or I listed out like body image stuff, identity stuff, family stuff, money, future. Like it's just a lot. Did you feel like some of that kind of came out? I mean, you mentioned you didn't come out much prior to meeting each other.
Right. So I actually came out, about 2 months before we started dating, and then you came out 2 months after we started dating.
I didn't realize that before. I just now realized that.
That's very funny. I didn't realize it either. But we really are lucky compared to a lot of same-sex couples, and we know this based on our Instagram and other couples that we know in the LGBT community. A lot of couples get married, and there are many relatives who don't want to show up.
Yeah, or chosen family mostly.
Chosen family, maybe all.
Yeah. And we feel very fortunate that we can't say the same. We have pretty much all of our family is incredibly accepting.
Yeah.
And
there's a few.
There's a few outliers that are distant relatives that don't really matter on the big day anyways. Yeah. And who knows if they even would have showed up. It doesn't really matter to us. But we do know that we... you know, there have been a few family members that we've had either struggles with, whether it be unrelated drama or uncertainty of like, you know, like, yeah, they've been fine, but like, are they going to be comfortable enough to even come to the wedding?
Yeah.
Or just, you know, family drama that has nothing to do with us, but like that person's fighting with dad and that's going to be awkward. Like, you know, so you have to think about those things, and, you know, I think every family has those people in it who, you know, do you really want them there on that day? Do you really want to look back at pictures and be like, oh, you know, that person was mm-hmm. there and I wish they weren't? Or we're paying $100 per person. Do we really want to feed them when we yeah. don't even want to talk to them after the wedding? You know, yeah. so you have to think about that. We've had some drama with it already. And
yeah, like both of our siblings were not even, we weren't sure for a little bit mm-hmm. if either of them would be able to really go. One for you, for your brother. I mean, I won't speak for you.
Yeah. You know, one being across the country and having kids and,
yeah.
And, you know, family drama. And, you know, we found out about your sister might not be able.
Yeah, she is going to take like a job in Spain. And she'll start that in the beginning of, well, actually the summer of next year. So
a few months before the wedding.
Her and I still have to talk about it, but, she was going to be in the wedding. So mm-hmm. now we have to figure out, some type of solution with that, which is rough, but, we'll figure it out. But, but there have been like a few things like that have come up really recently that are now a little bit of a mm-hmm. struggle.
Yeah. And as far as other things go, I think like everything that you mentioned, we can relate on, like body image issues have been
that been changed by like the idea of bride and how gowns fit or that you haven't shopped for one before?
Definitely.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, both of us have, we modeled in wedding dresses about a year and a half ago. And that was such a fun experience.
That's helpful.
Yes, it was fun. Really fun. And then also working in bridal, that's been really helpful to know what mm-hmm. does or doesn't work. But
we've done other projects where we thought we could model some bridal and they were on board and then we
it didn't work
got out. In the dresses and they didn't fit. And it was really disheartening and it really gives us some anxiety about shopping for our dresses. Are we going to go into the salon and none of the sample sizes fit? So like, why would we want to buy a dress that we feel horrible in?
Because they only carry a certain amount when it comes to plus size. But for straight sized or 0 to 12, you know, they have all of those there.
Every single dress. So you might fall in love with a dress on the rack, but you're not going to be able to see yourself in it.
Right, which just holding it up is totally...
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would imagine that being, like, you love clothes. This is, you're into fashion. You're into trends. You're, mm-hmm. you know, comfortable being photographed. That's all very positive association. But one negative association would really kind of throw you off your game for a while. Right. I mean, it's confidence killing.
I always hated having to go in store and try on. And I had to listen for like a year and a half at my job, you know, talking to like plus size brides and them telling me, you know, my biggest fear is having to go in and try on and having to just, you know, feel that shame of growing up and having to try on clothes that never really fit me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you did this, but for prom, I ordered all my dresses.
You tried them on at home.
Yeah, I tried them on at home, and they were perfect, like, a few days before.
I mean, you can do that with wedding gowns.
For sure.
With certain brands.
Yeah. But again, it's the biggest purchase, clothing-wise, of your life. Like, one, in importance, and two, and in money. Yeah. I'm never going to spend that much money on any other dress or outfit in my life. So I want to feel good about it. And, like, on that note, like, you know, we're obviously, like many brides, working on some weight loss before the wedding. And so, you know, there's the fear of like, what if I buy it and then they have to take it in multiple sizes and then what if it looks different? So there's a lot of like anxiety going around with all of those things. And I mean, we are seeing some positives of like, you know, we went into a shop and we were like, oh, they're only going to carry like 0 through 12. And they're like, no, we carry up to size 32. And it's like, well, that's great. You learn that they don't have any of the sample sizes in that size, but like if you fell in love with the dress, you could order it in any size you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of good information, back pocket.
It's better than I thought. But you know, so it's definitely, there's some challenges there and some anxiety there, things that we're gonna have to deal with in a handful of months.
So you've been engaged for a couple months. You're looking at, still have more than a year.
Yeah.
Yes. You're in good shape. So in order to wrap it up, let's think about like putting a button on it, speaking to listeners who have either just gotten engaged or are, you know, about to get engaged and know that's like, here's the overall thing you need to know. If we could bestow any wisdom about newly engaged wedding planning, this is it.
It's a crazy ride.
Yeah.
It's a journey. there are so many components you will not realize that go into it. And there you are totally allowed to figure out what your journey is. If you want to be the bride who does every little thing from bridesmaid proposals to out of town bachelorette parties to all the little details, that's great. If you want to have a chill wedding, that's also great. Like,
yeah,
just know what you want ahead of time and be prepared that your budget's going to reflect that. Yeah. You know, if you want to go all out, prepare for your budget to be all out. If you want a simple wedding, then, you know, expect that your budget to reflect that too.
Yeah. There's no, don't let anybody shame you into, creating a big wedding when all you want to do is elope. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no shame in wanting to elope. In fact, there's so many people that we knew just this past year that were friends of ours that all eloped or had micro weddings. Mm-hmm. No, those are on the rise. And there's no,
that's what they wanted. Yeah. It wasn't like their alternative.
Don't feel pressured from family or friends, to, you know, kind of whine at you and say, well, we wanted to be invited. We wanted to celebrate you. You can celebrate them, send them a check in the mail or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or even on the other side of, like, you know, maybe your family's like, I don't get why you need this big wedding. Yeah. If that's your dream, go for it. Like, it's not for anyone else to say what your dream is. Maybe that big wedding has been your dream forever. But as long as you're on the same page as a couple, that's really all that matters. And you'll have the perfect day as long as you remember it's about you. It's not about your family or your friends or what other people expect of you.
You can take as long or as little of engagement to get to the wedding as whatever you want.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, thank you both. Thank you for letting me come to your house.
Yeah, of course.
I expect that you will keep us posted. Have I already posted a picture of you guys on our...
You will see
photos of Ashley and Mallory, but you can follow them also, and their wedding planning journey will be documented on their Instagram, which is Mally in Love, Mallely, right?
That is correct.
And that's a combination of their two names. It took me typing it out more than once to get that.
It's so funny. My dad, too. My dad thought it was just a nickname for Mallory.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, she goes by Mally.
I'm always Mally at their house.
And I'm just like, Dad, it's both of our names, but that's okay. I get it.
Well, very good. Thank you again, and congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you for having us.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love your show.
Bye.